Guess what? Happy birthday, church. It's Pentecost Sunday. It's Pentecost Sunday, you know, 50 days after the resurrection. And Jesus, 10 days before this happened on Pentecost Day, Jesus ascended into heaven. And he said, wait for the Holy Spirit. And it is the birthday of the church. The church was united then. And it's also celebrating the welcoming of the Holy Spirit that we're going to talk about today. How we need the Holy Spirit in our lives, every moment, every day. So I'm grateful to be here. I'm grateful to be here. I can't do anything without the Spirit of God. I really can't. And sometimes he just whispers to us. Sometimes he talks loudly, and sometimes he sends people. It just depends. But how many, you know, it's hard to believe it was almost 6 months ago that we had the L.A. fires. And it was a destructive wind and fire. I remember watching them trying to get folks out of nursing homes and hospitals and schools and other places. And the wind was blowing so hard. And every time the wind would blow, there'd be a spark that would go over, it seems, to another area and start a fire. And you just saw the destruction. You saw the loss people had. I mean, we had 27 people die, which was amazing. There could have been a lot more. But they lost a lot of things. They lost their homes. They lost all those keepsakes, you know, pictures of their kids, pictures, different things. It was a total disaster. But there was another day that we're going to read about, that there was a strong wind and a fire that came, and it did the opposite. It breathed new life into us, and it started the church, and it filled the people that were there. And it said that you have been called to be my witnesses, and that's what we've been called to do. So instead of taking away, it added to us and filled our lives with the power, the presence, and the characteristic of Jesus, his love and his presence, knowing that you are loved and knowing that he has called you and called me to be part of this great church. The church universal, which is all over the world, but this church in specifically, if it's your church, is great. So I want to start out in Genesis 1 talking about the Spirit. It says in Genesis 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Thank you, Lord, that from the beginning your Holy Spirit has been hovering over the earth, but also over our lives, over the lives of those we love, and every step of the way. And we ask you now to fill our hearts, to reveal to people in a personal way, as only you can do, what you want to say in Jesus' name. Amen. And so out of it says the earth was formless and empty. It was darkness. But out of that, hovering over it, God created life. And he breathed into man, into his nostrils, a breath of life so that we would live. And the word breath is also the other word for spirit. And it's the pneuma, it's the Spirit of God that breathes into us new life. And the Spirit of God is here, and he's present. Also, I want to look at a great passage in Ezekiel. If you've never read this book, it can get kind of, you know, lack understanding. But if you have just go online or have a good commentary and look it up, you're gonna love the book of Ezekiel. And we see particularly in Ezekiel 37. So Ezekiel was told by, he was a prophet in the Old Testament, and he was told by God this in verse 1, the hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of dry bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. Wouldn't that would be kind of an eerie thing to do, wouldn't it? But he went. He asked me, son of man, can these bones live? I was thinking about that. Listen to his answer. And I said, sovereign Lord, you alone know. You alone know if they can live. And I thought, boy, that sounds like a politician. Doesn't answer the question. He's just like, you got it, Lord. I trust you. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you'll come to life. And so then we go down to verse 9, and this is what the Lord says to Ezekiel. He says, then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life, and they stood up. And I love this. They became a vast army. So if you think your marriage is dead today, if you think your relationships are dead, your job's dead, your finances are dead, and there's no hope, as the Israelites thought, that's it. I'm in the valley of the dry bones. I want you to know it's not over. Hallelujah. Maybe it's sleeping, but it's not over. And God can call those areas you think are dry bones, or maybe it's depression. Maybe it's you just seem to do the same habits. Maybe it's an addiction that you can't get over. Whatever it might be that stands in your way, the Lord's telling you today, I will call you forth and I will breathe new life into you that you may be raised and be, as you are, part of a vast army. He doesn't give up on us, but there's nothing we can do without the Spirit of God. Nothing we can do. We need God's Spirit to do anything. I think about when the angel came to Mary, you know, in Luke, and says, you're going to conceive by the Holy Spirit. And little Mary had no potential for generating life in her body on her own. So she says, how can that be? I'm a virgin. I've never been with a man. And how can that be? And the angel says to her, the power of the Most High, the Holy Spirit, will overshadow you, and you will be pregnant with the Messiah. And she is overwhelmed by that, but she agrees to it. And it's interesting when the Spirit speaks to you about something, God speaks to you, you can say yes or no. And she faced a lot of criticism and possibly potentially losing her fiance over that. But you see, there had to be a divine implanting of the egg of Jesus' birth. Because if it was just Joseph and her, then he wouldn't be fully God and fully man. And so in order to be fully God and fully man, it had to be deity and humanity. It was Mary, and it was the power of the Holy Spirit that made her pregnant. And that made him fully man and fully God, because the bloodline is in the man. And that's why it's important to know that when people say, the virgin birth, it's important to know why. About that and explain that. And so the Holy Spirit will overshadow you, Mary. You're going to become pregnant. And it happened. She said yes. You know, kings and priests and prophets were anointed outwardly with oil, which is no magic in the oil, but it does symbolize internal spiritual reality. That back then they anointed the kings and the prophets, that God's presence was with them, and so was his favor, and they raised them up to be leaders. So let's look at Acts 1. Let's look at Acts 1 when we start out the Pentecost experience. So Jesus is with them, and it's right. He's getting ready to be taken up to heaven. He's with his disciples. And so he says in Acts 1, in the last part of verse 4, this is what he says to his people. He's eating with them, and he says, do not leave Jerusalem, guys, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you will have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Well, what does that mean? Well, then they all gathered around Jesus and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? See, their mind was in a different area. Their mind was in the physical realm. Like, we want to be, you know, militarily the best. We want to be economically the best. So they weren't as concerned about that as they were, are you going to restore the kingdom, God? You know, are you going to come back and restore it so we can be the most powerful? The kingdom of God is an internal thing. It's his kingdom coming to this earth, and it doesn't look anything like what earthly kingdoms look like. It's an inside job. He's come to change hearts and lives. And that's what he's called us to. So he said to them in verse 7, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. We have people saying they know when Jesus is going to come back and when he's not. We don't know. Verse 8, but you will receive power, dunamis or dynamite. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And after that, he was taken up in their very, right up before them in their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking up intently into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white, probably angels, were beside them. Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. See, they're still focused on, when are you going to come back and restore the kingdom? Are you going to come in a couple days? Should we just stay here? And basically, these angels or men in the white say to them, hey, guys, there's work to do. You don't know when he's going to come back. You don't know when he's going to restore it. But there's things that he's called us to do. So let's take our vision off looking up into heaven and when he's going to come, and let's fulfill his purpose and commands for our life. And that's what they did from there. You know, we celebrated Christmas. We've celebrated Good Friday. We've celebrated Easter. Now we're celebrating Pentecost. Guess what we're going to celebrate next? Jesus' return. Yes, that's a pastor for you. Jesus' return. Isn't that great? And we'll be together whether we've already gone up and we're dead or we're still here. It doesn't matter. We're going to be with him. And so he said, gave him that command, the advocate, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will teach you all things. He'll speak to you. He'll give you direction. He'll remind you of everything that I've said. He'll give you guidance. It's almost like a legal defense or judicial principle. And Isaiah said in Isaiah 30, you know, basically he's prophesying about the Spirit too. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Isaiah 30:21. He'll guide us the direction we should go. I used to teach for School of Ministry some years ago for the Southern California District Assemblies of God. And I was in Bakersfield teaching a class on conflict management. And that's a big church in Bakersfield. It's a great church. And so I went into the bathroom, huge bathroom, ladies' room. And, you know, went in the stall, came out, and looked in the mirror, and I went to go out the door, and it was locked. And I am saying, what? I've never been locked in a bathroom. Locked out of them, but I've never been in and locked in one. So I'm banging on the door and I'm knocking on the door and nobody hears me. I say, hey, can you let me out? You know, I have a class to teach. And I'm looking up at the vents thinking, how would I get out of here? No one's hearing me. No one's saying a thing to me. And so after about 10-15 minutes, seriously, I'm like, oh, what am I going to do? I turn around. There's a woman behind me with her child. I said to her, how did you get in here? She said, through the door over there. I was at the wrong door, and I was at the door I came in, but it kind of had an alcove or a little entrance where you couldn't really see it from where I was. I said, oh, dear Jesus, please don't let me ever see this woman again. If she's a pastor's wife, I'm in trouble. She's going to say, you got some weird lady trying to teach a class over there. So, you know, on the way home, I thought about it. How often do we try to get through a door that God isn't opening for us? And it's closed, whether it's a relationship, whether it's a job, whether it's something that we want to do, something we want to have, and it just isn't opening. And we keep knocking and banging. I mean, I was starting to perspire. I'd take my sweater off. I was like, what am I going to do? And yet, sometimes when the worst comes to worst, he sends you someone. He sends you someone that says, you know, why don't you try over here? Why don't you try over here? And that's what happened. So God uses every way, and the Spirit speaks to us, and he'll send people. He said to when Paul had his experience on the road to Damascus, you know, he got hit by a light. He couldn't see it, blinded him. You know, and Jesus asked him, what are you know, persecuting me for? And someone had to lead him after being this Pharisee that was educated and well-known and godly and the best, you know, Pharisee you could have. And now he's got to put his hand in somebody's hand that he doesn't know and be led like a child. And he gets there, and so he's blind. And so then God speaks to him, Spirit speaks to him and says, Paul, I'm going to send you someone, a man by the name of Ananias. Now, Ananias is down the street, right? And so this is in chapter 9 of Acts. So God says to Ananias, Ananias, I want you to get up and go down to Straight Street. There's a man there by the name of Paul or Saul, and I want you to pray for him that he gets his vision back. Ananias goes, are you kidding me? We know about Saul. There's horrible stories about him. He's been persecuting your people. He's been putting them in jail. He will kill them, whatever. But he went. And all that Jesus said to him was go. Sometimes he tells us to go, and I want to hesitate. Are you sure? You know, just like coming back from you know, wherever we go, and we come back, and then the Lord speaks to us again and says, I want you to go another direction now. When we think we're supposed to go one way. You know, the door was locked, so I had to go around. But with Ananias, he went to Straight Street. He could have said no, but when he got there, he went in and he introduced himself and he prayed for Paul, and something like scales fell through Paul's eyes, and he could see again. And he became his brother, you see. So sometimes he sends us to people that we're not comfortable with or we don't know. And we think, well, how are they going to respond to me? You know, maybe it's your own family. Sometimes that's the hardest, right? Your own family. But that's what Paul did. So, you know, we will receive power and direction we can count on. A body without breath is a corpse. And a church without the Spirit is dead. But we're alive. Amen? So chapter 2 is about the birth of the church and the coming of the Spirit. Acts really symbolizes to us a new unity in the Spirit. Because you see, at the Tower of Babel, if you remember, in Genesis 11, they were building it. The people were very arrogant and prideful, and they were building a tower to greatness. They were going to, earth proudly was trying to reach heaven. And God saw that, the pride in their heart. It wasn't for good. And at that time, they spoke the same language. But what did God do? He scattered the nations and their languages and confused their languages. So it you know, actually caused disunity, and everybody had to go their own way. They didn't understand each other's language. But at Pentecost, there's a new unity that comes in the Spirit. There's racial and language barriers. You see, at Babel, it was to scatter the nations. But at Pentecost, heaven descended to the earthly realm to unite the nations and unite us as a church. That we would be forever bound together, the church universal, the church here at his place, that we are part of that church. And we need them and they need us. Amen? The great redwoods, those massive trees that are just majestic, they grow to be about 270 feet tall and about 25 feet in diameter. But their roots are very small. They're only like about 5 feet or 10 feet. It's very short roots. But the redwoods grow in thick groves. So their shallow roots eventually intertwine because they're so close together. And over time, they fuse together. So they start out as individuals and become one with others as they grow. And roots, they have roots that almost intertwine like an army to protect the whole grove, the groove from everything, from any kind of weather or any kind of enemy. And that's what the church is about. We support one another and we can help each other through the difficult times and when the enemy comes against us or adversity comes against us. So we are like those redwoods, tall and majestic and beautiful. You know, the Bible does say, I think it's in Isaiah 61, that we are oaks planted in the house of the Lord. We're oaks planted in the house of the Lord. So we are beautiful, and he plants us and feeds us and nurtures us in ground, but we need one another to do that, and we need his Spirit to do that. So let's see in Acts 2, we're going to look at how the Spirit came. So when the day of Pentecost came, it was 10 days after his ascension, because they had to vote in a new apostle. Matthias came in. They were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind. It came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed like tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and Mesopotamia, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, all over Rome, and both Jews and converts to Jews and Grecians and Arabs, and we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own language." You see, God speaks to us. He doesn't leave anybody out. And to, you know, in words that we understand. So here's gathered all these nations, and they're hearing the wonders of God in their own language. "He doesn't know my language. How can that be?" It's a gift. It's a gift of tongues that's given to the church at large, and it's still given today. There's two kinds of tongues. There's a speaking in tongues of your own prayer language, and there's a speaking of tongues that's given to the church for the edification of the body of Christ. You know, I have a friend that was in Egypt in 1981. She was doing an internship. I was in school with her at the Lillian Thrasher Orphanage. And it was in the summer of 1981 that Anwar Sadat, the president of Egypt, was assassinated during a parade. And she couldn't leave. Nobody could go in the country or out of the country. And while she was there, she got very, very ill. Okay? She didn't know who to contact, what to do. Well, while she was there, one of the days she was there, the Lord woke me up in the middle of the night, which isn't my favorite time to pray, but man, I'll tell you what, I was awake, and I got down by my bed and I began to pray in tongues because I didn't know what to pray. And when Betty came home, we looked at our dates and where we'd been and what had happened, and it was during the time that she was so deathly ill. What an encouragement that was to me and to Betty and to her family and to those who knew her and didn't know her. What an encouragement that was. I didn't know what I was praying for. I just wanted to be obedient unto the Lord. And so that's what I mean. That's what you can have, your own prayer language. You can have, you know, and nobody forces it. Nobody's going to force you to do that. The Holy Spirit's not going to force you. But look at what an example that was to all the nations. And you know that after this event, verse 12 of chapter 2, I'm getting ahead of myself. Rick said, "Remember to finish your sentences, Barb," so I will. Chapter 2, verse 12. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "Well, they've had too much wine." You see, there are people who won't believe. They only see things from a secular, worldly view. Okay? If they can't really rationalize it out or see it or make sense of it, they're not going to believe it. And they couldn't make sense of this. Because this is supernatural. There is a whole spiritual realm going on right now that we don't see, but it's going on. Right? And so they made fun of them. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice. Here's Peter. You know, Peter was the impulsive one. Peter was one of the disciples that was probably the hardest, you know, one. Well, I wouldn't say the toughest, but he was impulsive and would say things and later regret them, I think. But he said, he was the disciple that didn't stay awake with Jesus in the garden. I don't think any of them did. And then remember in the boat, Jesus said, "Come on, Peter, come on out, follow me, come on, come to me." And he stepped out of the boat, at least he had the courage to do that. But he took his eyes off Jesus and he sank. And then toward the end, before Jesus went to the cross, he said, "I will never deny you, ever, Jesus." And what did he do? He swore he didn't know Jesus. So he slept, he sank, and he swore. And yet Jesus used him Jesus worked with him because, you see, through those experiences, the Holy Spirit taught Peter about himself, his own failures, and yet about Jesus' redemption and about the forgiveness and self-forgiveness. You know, he went and wept bitterly. Sometimes we commit sin and have to weep about it. Maybe we're sitting here today and saying, I didn't have a good week. You know, I had a young man call me on the phone saying, I'm having a problem. Please, pray for me. It was who we bought our car from. And so he was at the dealership and we got talking. So maybe you're sitting here today and you're thinking, I don't know. I don't know if I deserve the Holy Spirit. None of us do. We don't. But Jesus made a way on the cross. He died for us. And then 3 days later, he was raised from the dead, and that same power dwells in us. So Peter stands up, and this one who was probably seen as the least one that you would have picked to be a spokesman on the day of Pentecost, but he raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 a.m. For some people, that's okay, but no, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I'll pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I'll pour out my spirit in those days and will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so he goes on to talk to them. And in verse 37 of that chapter, he gives the whole gospel. And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart, it says. Meaning they were convicted. You know, the word of God's, a two-edged sword. And it cuts between soul and spirit and bone and marrow. And it's powerful. So it cut them to the heart. They were convicted of sin. They said to the apostles and others, brothers, what shall we do? Now that's a good question to be asked, right? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all who call on the name of the Lord, for our God, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized. And get this, about 3,000 were added to their number that day. 3,000. You know, we'd like 300, wouldn't we? You know, we can believe God for whatever he's going to send. So that was the beginning of the church and what happened. And the Lord speaks to us. You know, 1 Peter 2:9, Peter says this. The apostle Peter writes, but you and I are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, to proclaim the virtues of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Do you remember when you were in darkness? I do. And it's not someplace you want to go back to at all. But he called us into his marvelous light. He got us out of the deep cave, the pit we were in. And 2 Corinthians 1:21 and 22 says, now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Praise God. In Romans 8:26 and 27 says this, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And he'll speak to you personally. Like, we're all different. He's going to speak to you. The Holy Spirit will speak to you in a way that is different from me. It won't be confusing with maybe different words that you don't understand, or you say, I misunderstood you, Holy Spirit. What did you mean by that? But that did happen to me. It's easy as humans to do that. When I left Teen Challenge, went straight to Evangel University, Evangel College back then, where I met my handsome husband, and went there, and four of us went from Teen Challenge. And so we got a house off campus because we were older. And so we were there, and one of our friends backslid, and she got back on drugs. And so finally we had to ask her to leave because the house was going to burn down. She didn't. So she left, and a couple weeks went by, and she came back, and I left her, "Doreen, how are you?" I opened the door to her. We sat in the living room, and I didn't know if she'd gotten right with God, if she was off drugs. I didn't know anything. But she sat there and she looked at me like this when during the conversation. She said, "I just want you to know I have a piece in this house." Well, you know, no, peace is an artillery. It's a gun. But I thought she meant the peace of God. Honestly, but I did. And so, because I thought, well, I'm in a Christian school now and my life's been redeemed. I said, "You do?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "I have a piece in this house too." And she says, "You do?" I said, "Oh, I've had a peace in this house ever since we moved in." And I'm thinking to myself, really, I'm thinking, oh God, you know, we're so spiritual. Our devotions are paying off. She feels the peace of God, you know? And, that was definitely miscommunication. Whether it saved my life or not, I don't know. But, I do know that a short time later, there was a knock on the door, and it was the Adena students and a police officer to arrest her for illegal things she'd been doing. But that's what I mean about confusion about. Especially, I remember seeing her face when I said, she said, "You do?" I said, "Oh, I've had a peace in this house ever since we moved in." And I just remember the look on her face. I never got to explain it to her, so I don't know what she thought, but there was a gun behind the curtain, so thank God for that, that God had me misunderstand that. But he does speak personally to us in ways that, you know, that we know. And he's good. We also have, not only do we have the gifts of the Spirit, which we can ask for, prophecy, they're all listed. Maybe we'll study them sometime. They're in Corinthians, and they're all through the Bible. You know, but in the meantime, we stay open to what the Holy Spirit has to say to us. And I want to just briefly touch on the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is found in Galatians, Paul writes about, chapter 5. Because I remember pastoring in Long Beach, and people would come up and they'd have these great experiences with God and speak in tongues, and they would, you know, it was really good, and Spirit be moving on them. And then they'd say, "I'm going to go this week. I'm just going to love on this guy at work that just bugs me to no end. He just aggravates me." And so then the following week they'd come see me, "Pastor, you know what? You know what this guy did this week?" And I said, "Well, you should probably send him a thank you note, because didn't you say you wanted to love that person?" "Well, I didn't expect it to be this way." But see, it would be nice if we just went to sleep and said, "God, put the fruit of the Spirit in my life so I can love tomorrow." Bam, he just takes this wand and does it. It doesn't work that way usually. He works it out by helping us to love people that seem unlovable to us. And maybe that's even ourself, I don't know. But he goes on, I just want to emphasize one thing. The fruit of the Spirit is not fruits. It's not plural. It's singular. There's just one fruit with many different aspects of the fruit, like a bunch of grapes. Yeah, see, he's got it right there. Way to go, Tim. So we see in chapter 5, Paul's talking about, in the last part, 16 through 20, he's talking about the acts of the flesh are obvious, and he names them. And then he goes down to 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. There are those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying one another, each other. So we're going to make mistakes, we're going to fail, we're going to sin. But, and these fruit, the fruit of the Spirit is not something that we actually can work for. It's something that the only way we get it is by abiding. Abiding in Christ. So this is one fruit, one source, but much fruit. So if you say, you know, I really don't want the self-control. I'll just work on faithfulness. Hey, I'm working on self-control about every day. You know, I won't go get ice cream as a reward because I had a good day, you know? It's something that it has important characteristics. Fruit isn't achieved by working. Stay abiding with Christ because the Holy Spirit has given us the ability. It's the fruit of the Spirit, not our own effort. Fruit is fragile. It reproduces itself. Fruit is attractive and it nourishes. So that's what we want to do. We want to be able to have the fruit of the Spirit and for God as we abide in Him to work in our life. And I just want to call up our prayer people today. Want to call, and maybe Jaden can come up too up here. Because would you stand with me if you can? And I just want, maybe you need to rededicate your life to Jesus. Or maybe you feel out of sorts with Jesus. Or maybe you just need a touch and you say, I don't know about the Holy Spirit. I'm not sure. I don't feel worthy of it. And maybe I have a little of the Holy Spirit. God wants to fill you. He loves you. He loves you. We've been praying, pour out your Spirit, God. There's no limit to it. It's not about He's going to do something you don't want to do. He just wants you to be filled with the life and joy so that you can share with others. And the best way to witness sometimes is to tell your story. Because no one can deny it. They can say, I don't believe the Bible's real. I don't believe Jesus is real. But when you tell them your story, what God has done, no one can deny that. That's your story. That's what God has done in your life. So if you feel you need a work in your life, you just want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, maybe you struggle with things, and we all feel unworthy, but you're not, because God, Jesus has made us worthy. So we're gonna be praying now, and I want you to come forward. If you'd like to rededicate your life to the Lord, and get right with Jesus, maybe for the first time. You can come, maybe for the first time. Or maybe you say, I want to know more about the Holy Spirit. Pastor Barr, I want to know. I want to be filled. I want my body healed. I want my relationships healed. And I've been waiting a long time for answered prayer. Lord, please, please, don't ever give up. Don't ever give up. You know, my dad got his salvation on his deathbed. And he was a stinker, let me tell you. I was too, but I mean, he was a real stinker. So, you know what? Don't give up praying. Lord hears you. His Spirit is working, and His Spirit intercedes for us. Hallelujah. Come. Come. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Yes.
God, we need you so much right now, Lord. God, just come fill this room like the upper room, Lord. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, touch your people right now in Jesus' name. You are the King of Kings, Lord. We exalt your name. You are so holy, Lord God. You are the perfect and spotless Lamb, Lord. Sacrifice for us to bring us back to the Father, Lord. Sitting at the right hand of the Father, Jesus. So we ask for the power of the Holy Spirit to come like fire upon your people today, Lord God. If you need prayer, come down. Be filled with the Spirit today, church. If that is you, do not hesitate. The Spirit of the Lord wants to fall upon you in your life. He wants to fill you afresh. Lord God, please come. Jesus, touch your people. Fill your people, Lord God. Give us the fruit of the Spirit, Lord God. Impart the gifts on your people today. If you're looking to know what the Lord has for you, spiritual giftings, if you want to prophesy, speak in tongues, ask for those things. If you want to preach the gospel, ask for those things. The Lord wants to empower His people like He did on that day of Pentecost so that we could be bold like Peter and go out and preach the message of God to the corners of the earth. We are called to the Great Commission. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, come. Come and fill this place, Lord God. Touch your people. Let the fire come down right now, Lord God. We thank you, Jesus. You are so holy. Holy name of God. Yahweh, you are precious. Thank you, Jesus. Be with us now. Be with us, God, on Pentecost. Fill us, Lord God. Some people need you so badly right now, Lord God. If there is any unclean spirit or oppressive spirit upon your people in this room, we cast it out in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. If there is unclean spirit, if there is anything demonic upon anybody, an oppressive spirit, Lord God, in Jesus' name, we come against it and we cast it out of this room, out of the people, out of here. By the blood of Christ, we are redeemed and renewed by you, Lord God. We seek you, Jesus. We praise your name, Holy Spirit. Come, come now, Lord God. Come now, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, Father God. Bless your people. Thank you, God. Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord God.
Amen, Jesus. Amen, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, God. Bible says he's given us his spirit as a guarantee, a deposit of what is to come. Thank you, Lord. Never to be taken. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh God, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the children represented here and the grandchildren, Lord. We thank you for them. We would ask you to give our parents and our grandparents and our family members your spirit and your grace, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the leaders in this church, that you'll raise them up. Thank you, Lord. May we be pleasing to you. Jesus, I want to thank you too. I want to thank you for Jaden. And thank you, Jesus. Just thank you, God, for them. God, raise them up. God, thank you, Jesus, for them. God, touch them. Touch them in every way, God. Continue to raise them up and unite them. Teach them about you, Jesus, and use them. Thank you, God. In Jesus, amen. Thank you, Lord. Not too late. You can come forward or just right where you are. Ask the Lord to impart his spirit upon you. Just, I need more, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you as we go through these changes in our church. Thank you that you never change, that you are the consistent one in our life. And we thank you, Lord, for that. Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, Father, thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Good end. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. If you need to go, we understand. Remember, there's a membership class. You want to do that. If you want to stay and pray for a while, you can do that too. So, Lord, we thank you for your presence here. We thank you, Lord God, for never leaving or forsaking us. And we would ask right now, as we go our way, we want to say glory to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. Glory and honor without end. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you.